Ozarks at Large has been following the Trump administration's decisions on tariffs since earlier this year. Last week, the president announced he was placing steel and aluminum tariffs on Mexico, Canada, and the European Union. Canada and Mexico are Arkansas's largest trade partners. Data from the Arkansas World Trade Center shows exports of goods to both countries increased by nearly 14% from 2016 to 2017. And last year, combined exports to Canada and Mexico added up to $2.1 billion. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek spoke with Angela Hoffman, Deputy Director of Farmers for Free Trade, earlier this week about the latest round of tariffs and how they could have an impact on Arkansas's farmers and manufacturers.
Tariffs have been implemented on Canada and Mexico on their steel and aluminum. Can we just talk about what brought us to this point? That happened last week. But what's led us up to this point? It's been sort of a long process. It's been confusing.
Yes, well, you're right about it being confusing. So let me just try to simplify it in what's happening. So there's three big things that we're watching right now. One is the modernization or the renegotiation of NAFTA, and that involves Canada and Mexico. This is something that needs to be done. It's an agreement that was started in 1992, so it needs modernized. It doesn't need to be throwing out the baby with bathwater. So that's been one thing that's very important, but that deal is not done. So that's hanging in the balance. Number two, the president used a little-known trade agreement, a trade authority called 232, which is used for national security. And that was invoked across many, many, many countries involving steel and aluminum. And that allows the president unilaterally to impose tariffs. So these are big tariffs. Now, our Canadian and Mexican counterparts were exempted temporarily. So that's the big caveat here, temporarily exempted. And then number three, we're in the midst of a 301. So this is a special investigation on China. So there's a lot of talk about imposing, again, taxes or tariffs on Chinese imports. So we have three big things going on right now. The last couple of weeks were kind of the perfect storm. So number one, the NAFTA talks did not conclude. And the president said very forcefully when he made the exemption that if the talks didn't conclude by June 1st, he was going to put Canada and Mexico back on the steel and aluminum list. That's where we are now. So you now have additional taxes for the state of Arkansas on imports of steel and aluminum from Canada and Mexico. And our manufacturers use a lot of those products. It's really important to their profitability that they're able to use an integrated supply chain. And number two, guess what? When you take a provision that is sort of out of context, it's not trade legal, your trading partners get to retaliate. And that's what's happening right now. So we've got tariffs on the other side. So those great products that Arkansas depend on exporting to their number one and number two trading partners, well, they're now going to face some big, stiff tariffs on the outbound side. So we're kind of caught in the crosshairs between these three big, major issues related to trade. But at the end of the day, it has a real-life economic impact on Arkansas. And our governor has been standing up for NAFTA throughout the entire year. It's been such an important topic for this state because it supports over 350,000 good Arkansas jobs. Those exports are agriculture, it's light manufacturing, it's airplane parts. We really rely on Canada and Mexico, our number one and number two. That's over $3 billion worth of exports that come from our state.
So Canada made a list, announced a list of the items that they will retaliate with. That isn't going into effect until later this month. But you mentioned Mexico is our other biggest trade partner, and they are also retaliating as we speak.
Yes. Well, and today they announced and put into effect their retaliation list. Now, this is phase one. So hopefully this does not go long because this is a self-inflicted war. But we've got key issues, and agriculture is right in the middle of that list. Apples, pork, a number of products that we saw retaliated on a couple years ago during this sort of Mexican trucking dispute. So these can be pretty painful, and they can really stop a lot of our trade and the most profitable market that we have for Arkansas products.
NAFTA, it seems like, has benefited Arkansas in a lot of ways. So where do, I guess, you know, manufacturers, farmers stand in all this? What are the worries for them?
Arkansas has really benefited from NAFTA. In fact, since the implementation in 1992, our trade has expanded 700%. That's huge. And again, it's not just agriculture. It's also manufacturing. lots of good jobs. Over 1,000 small, medium-sized companies in the state rely on NAFTA. They're exporting everything. It's pretty exciting to see it. Now, it is linked, though, to the steel tariffs because the president said it was. He was exempting them for a short term so they could conclude the deal on NAFTA. So a couple important things. One, we need to stay in NAFTA. This delegation in our state has been very vocal about continuing the benefits. We need to get it modernized. That's absolutely right. But what we don't want to see is yet another situation where, goodness gracious, we pull out of NAFTA. That you can't bear any more brunt of this economic war. Our farmers and producers just can't do it. They're seeing increase to their costs. They're seeing lost market. In the farm country, you're seeing sort of the dual side of this trade war. So not only are your markets being questioned, I mean, we export a lot of corn, grains, and more. Our buyers in Mexico are looking to other markets. They're already implementing deals from Argentina and around the world. Other people can sell the products, not our great products, but they can sell it. And number two, their costs are going up. Sort of the unintended consequences of these steel and aluminum import tariffs are the fact that their implements are more expensive. The fencing that they need to put in is more expensive, and that's going up exponentially. So they're crunched right in the middle, and it's financially very difficult.
How are these manufacturers and farmers handling this, I suppose? Can they prepare for anything? I mean, there's been so much talk of this and so much confusion, and we just don't know what's going to happen in a couple of weeks, let's say.
So one of the areas that we're seeing is it isn't just a short-term fix. So there's been a question about could, you know, a payment program or a supplemental program help? The real answer to that, and most of the producers we talk to say no, because these are long-term contracts. Take, for example, a barley grower on the Northern High Line selling their barley into Mexico. It becomes beer, and it's re-imported back to the U.S. They're getting into 10-year contracts, so it's not something that is easy to sort of turn around and find a new business partner. Similarly, there's markets where they've been working very, very hard. Keep in mind, China is also on the cutting edge. There are other tariffs and retaliatory tariffs in place that are happening. So you're seeing these other good markets that are also shutting down to U.S. products and blocking them out. So at the end of the day, where are you going to sell your product? And it's about the U.S. and the producers being reliable suppliers. And right now, that's what they need is that reliability. They need some calm in this storm where they can see and make some plans for the short term, the midterm, and ultimately the long term, recognizing these deals take a lot of work and those relationships really, really matter.
So as far as your organization and other organizations in Arkansas, like the World Trade Center, that sort of work in trade and to promote Arkansas trade. What are you guys doing to sort of mitigate some of this?
Well, first, we're trying to explain what's going on. There's so much noise out there. It is confusing. It sounds like a lot of alphabet soup and a lot of numbers. And I think at the end of the day, we're trying to bring the message home that trade is basically just common sense economics. It's what do you do to sell your product? How do you simplify the way you sell it? And at the end of the day, how do you control your costs? And those stories, I think, really resonate when farmers and ranchers are speaking up. We've launched an app on www.farmersforfreetrade.com where you can record a 15-second video. And what really resonates are the individual stories. You know, what it looks like when a producer is making decisions about what they're going to plant because they're in the field right now, or what product they may or may not buy, whether they're going to put in a grain silo, whether they're going to fix that fence. Those are the type of stories that really, really resonate with this administration and need to be told. And frankly, you know, these are farmers who put Trump in office. They didn't vote for a trade war, but he's listening to them. So they really, really, really need to be able to articulate exactly how it's hitting their bottom line, their communities, and their family.
So it sounds like the worry is that that there might not be any benefits out of this trade war for farmers here and manufacturers here.
I think at the end of the day, most of the farmers and ranchers that we would talk about would say, let's get back in the business of selling things. You know, it's really important to keep in mind that we pulled out of the TPP. That would have opened an even larger market for new products to countries like Japan, where we've been working for years and years to be able to compete. We don't want to be sitting idly by while Canada and Mexico are negotiating agreements with all of our trading partners, the Australians as well. So we'd love to see those resources and the U.S. hand strengthened and doing what we do best is negotiating new and more open markets and resolving some of these disputes instead of the back foot.
This administration does sort of frame the argument that the U.S. is losing out in the global trade market. Is that the impression that you get?
So from an agriculture perspective, agriculture has a trade surplus and has. It continues to have a trade surplus even as last week when the numbers were released, and almost a $20 billion trade surplus. So it's a different perspective, and I think you have to be careful to look at the numbers. Look at the services industry. This is a highly complex, you know, trade that we have in the U.S. It's manufacturing, it's agriculture and services, but net-net, it's been positive. And to Arkansas, frankly, the numbers show that it's been a net positive for us and will continue to grow. This is a state that's highly, highly reliant on trade. It's done well. It's winning in trade. It has the right products and it has the right partners.
So let's talk about China really quickly, because that is part of the conversation. If we could just talk about what is happening with China, because right now the focus is on Canada, Mexico, and the EU. But all that stuff with China happened a little bit earlier, so I think it'd be good to maybe recap some of that.
Well, you know, it's really important to keep in mind that perhaps the trade deficit with China is what started all of this, is how do you reconcile that situation? And there are certain products where they have strengths, and there's certain areas where we have strengths. At the end of the day, on steel, they are already implementing retaliation against the U.S. That is happening. And we are seeing export tariffs on everything from nuts to wine already in effect. We are seeing orders canceled with product going into China, held up at port or other, you know, non-tariff barriers that are being implemented. So we've been picking that fight for a while. And the next phase is what's going to happen with respect to this 301, and that's intellectual property. And you know what? The U.S., and we support the efforts to make sure that our intellectual property rights are protected. That's a good and noble thing to do. We should be doing it. I think what everyone questions is whether or not just implementing more import tariffs or taxes is the right way to do it, because ultimately it's just the American consumer who pays that tax. So is there a better way to resolve our differences and not put yet another layer of complexity and confusion into the mix?
So are these trade negotiations, is this how they normally proceed, or is there something different this time?
It's a really interesting time because it's a combination of trade negotiations and trade tools out of a toolbox that are used on sort of other type of activities. So in the context of NAFTA and any trade negotiation, CAFTA, NAFTA, the TPP, industry members are very actively involved. So you would see representatives from your state who are very active and advising throughout the entire process. And they're heard, and their opinions really, really matter. You know, the last couple rounds of NAFTA have been more at the top, and so there hasn't been as much visibility within the industry to what's happening. But the other trade tools, these numbers, we've moved from the sort of trade agreements to trade tools, the 232 and the 301. The 232 in particular is used for national security. It was used after the Korean War to protect the domestic steel industry. There was a very specific reason for using that tool, right? Now that tool is being used to leverage NAFTA talks. And so the question is, why are we using a national security tool to impose sanctions on our national security partners? And that's why Canada and Mexico are, and European Union are so very concerned, because they are our national security allies. So tools are being used in a very different manner. The other thing about these tools is they're unilateral. The president can invoke them without Congress. At the end of the day, if we look back to NAFTA, and this is important to note, too. We can conclude a deal with NAFTA, but our Congress still has responsibility to pass the deal. And so they're not going to pass a bad deal either. So whatever you come back with, the president still has to work with his constituencies to make sure it's the right deal and it's good for America.
And are you hearing from farmers and manufacturers that they do feel like they're getting left out of the conversation about all this?
Certainly with respect to the retaliation. They do not appreciate being sort of the pawn in the trade war, because they are at the tip of the spear. And when you use a tool like this and you use it outside of its normal scope, our trading partners, and we've done it in the past too, we're authorized to retaliate. So they're doing what they can do under our global trade rules. And so I think that's been the hard part about this whole discussion is, you know, agriculture is overly bearing the brunt for how these tools are being used and how they are being focused on our trading partners.
If there was a message to sort of the people who are negotiating all this, imposing these tariffs, I mean, what would that be for coming from an Arkansas perspective?
So from an Arkansas perspective, these relationships matter. Mexico and Canada matter. They matter whether you're in agriculture, you're in manufacturing, you're in services. There are, again, over 350,000 good Arkansas jobs that matter. And we want to continue those relationships with our trading partners.
Right, because it sounds like NAFTA made Arkansas just quite a bit more prosperous as a state.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a success story for NAFTA. I think the big question is, what can we do about it? You know, one thing right now to stabilize, would we resolve NAFTA? Come to a successful conclusion of NAFTA and let producers really look into those relationships. That, incidentally, I think would also resolve a lot of the issues on steel because they are linked. So that's the one thing I think they could bring to a conclusion in the here and now. And that window is very short for what Mexico has to look at in terms of their upcoming election as well.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by our studios and filling us in on all of this.
Thanks, Ben.
That was Angela Hoffman, the Deputy Director of Farmers for Free Trade, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek. Mexico's $3 billion in tariffs on American goods went into effect yesterday. The goods include pork, cheese, apples, potatoes, and whiskey.